Welcome back to Bullseye on the afternoon on AM 930 WEOL, taking you through a Tuesday afternoon, getting you ready for Cavaliers basketball later on tonight, and then a little bit later on this evening, it's Indians baseball. Tribe continuing on their West Coast swing, taking on the LA Angels. They, of course, won 6-0 last night. Mike Clevenger looked fantastic. And here to talk Tribe with us, we've got Jim Rosenhaus. And, Rosie, I know you're a Bay Village guy, but there's a place at Avon Lake you absolutely must try. Erie Burger Company. Erie Burger Company is the proud sponsor of our interviews with Jim Rosenhaus all throughout the course of the season. And if you listen closely, we will also be sure to give you the details on Erie Burger Company's Tribe Ticket giveaway as well. So make sure you stay tuned for that a little bit later on in today's show. Head to Erie Burger Company. You can try a burger made with local grass-fed beef, a sandwich, awesome fresh-cut fries. Make sure you visit Erie Burger Company in Avon Lake Town Center right off of Walker Road. Rosie, thank you so much as always for joining us. How are you?
I'm doing great, Bull. How you doing?
So far, so good. And I tell you what, after staying up for last night's game, I feel even better. And I want to start with that. I know Matt Douglas had asked you about that last week, the adjustment. With spring training helping out a little bit, you know, it seemed like the players didn't seem to have much of an issue playing in the Pacific time zone. I know a lot of people back here have a difficult time adjusting to it, but because it's early in the year, I think people certainly don't mind. Is that a challenge, you know, for you personally, just trying to get used to playing games, for last night being a perfect example, a game that starts a little bit after 10 o'clock and didn't finish until about 1:30? Is that a tough thing to get used to?
Well, you know, I think being out here for spring training on that time zone is helpful because you've had a month and a half to kind of get used to it. And there's really, on this trip at six games, there's only three night games. So it really hasn't been that much of a challenge, and more so than, say, if it was in June or July when you're in a stretch of mainly Eastern time zone or even Central time zone in the division, those types of games. When you come out here in that situation, especially if you played a game the night before in the Eastern time zone and come out, that's when I think you see it maybe impact the play on the field, or at least it's a challenge where you really have to think about it and power through. But the way it's set up this year, coming out of spring training and haven't been out here for a month and a half, that makes a huge, huge difference. And I think it's shown on the field, Bull, that the Indians are 2-2, but they've played pretty crisp baseball. I mean, it's been good baseball, and they look pretty sharp, I guess is the best way to put it. And I think what you look for with the time zone changes is if a team is a little lethargic or throwing the ball around a little bit like that, sometimes you can point to that. But they've been pretty sharp, and I think that's the reason why, just coming out of spring training and being on that time zone already.
Yeah, they most definitely have looked sharp, Rosie, no question about that. You know, over the weekend, dropping 2 out of 3 against the Mariners, but I thought they still looked good in that series. And look, those were very entertaining games. Those were very close games as well. And last night, you know, I think the body of work of Mike Clevenger, just so impressive. And he really didn't shy away from the idea that he wanted to get back at a team that traded him at one point as well. And, you know, it was so fun to watch him pitch yesterday, because I don't want to call him the unknown, Rosie. I don't think he's unknown at all, but he is the newest member of this rotation at the beginning of the season. Sure, he saw some time there last year, then he went back to the bullpen during the postseason, but it's hard not to like what you see from him. He mentioned at the beginning of the year he wanted to tally 200 innings before season's end, and he was just so good with the command of his pitches last night.
He was, and actually, as crazy as it sounds, I think he can be better, because he only made it into the sixth inning before he got close to 100 pitches. So, you know, I think he can be even better, which is scary to say because he was really good last night. But, you know, yeah, it's interesting to say he is kind of under the radar. And I think outside of fans and the team, fans of the Indians and the team, he probably is under the radar. And that's because you have a Cy Young Award winner. And then Carrasco also won 18 games, and then Trevor Bauer won 17. So he would be someone who could slip under the radar, but not in the clubhouse, not from pitching coach Carl Willis, and certainly Terry Francona was very complimentary of Clevinger last night, but also I think heading into the season and throughout spring training, just the way he was talking about him, that he's primed and in position to really put together a big season. He doesn't throw that around lightly. So it'll be interesting to watch here as Clevinger gets deeper into the season, but a real nice start for him last night.
Yeah, and Rosie, I thoroughly enjoyed his approach pitching against two true pros in Albert Pujols and especially Mike Trout. I thought the way he approached both of those guys and was able to consistently get them out was very, very impressive. Again, we're talking Tribe with Jim Rosenhaus. It's brought to you by Erie Burger Company and the Avon Lake Town Center right off of Walker Road. Rosie, could you please take us through that inside the park home run that Edwin Encarnacion hit last night? I was very surprised to hear that that wasn't the first in his career. I'm even more impressed, Rosie, that he was actually able to make it all the way around, given the fact that he kind of trotted the second he left the batter's box last night.
Yeah. Although I will say, he kind of kicked it into gear pretty quick. I think it was about 10 steps down the line where he was Cadillacing it a little bit, thinking it would go out. But, you know, I think a lot of us are still tired just watching him going around the bases. But, you know, he held it just, all right, looking at it from, say, the track perspective, he held his stride very nicely coming around third base and kept his form. And it didn't look like the piano had come on his back and all that kind of stuff. He actually looked pretty good going from third to home, which is usually where players start to stumble and huff and puff. But he held it together pretty good. So good for him. Tip of the cap for him, because I think once he saw that ball ricochet away and start to head toward the middle of the field, he kicked it in gear pretty good and didn't seem to be flustered when Mike Sarbaugh, the third base coach, waved him around. And you know, you're still kind of wondering how exactly that happened, but good for him. That was a fun part of the game last night, and another home run for Edwin, and inside the parker.
And while we're on that topic, too, because you're right, I think a lot of us do look back at that play and think, how in the world did that happen? I mean, I guess you could see, look, Upton didn't play it the way he should have. I think he got too close to the wall, all that sort of thing. Okay, fine, that happens. I think as we're all watching that, we're all kind of wondering, not necessarily what happened to Upton on that play, but where was Mike Trout in all of that? And I think that's the most intriguing part of that inside the park home run. Not necessarily that Edwin was able to get around the bases and score. And as you mentioned, I think a tip of the cap to him for sure for getting around the bases after he kind of trotted a few steps out of the batter's box. But where was Mike Trout in all of that?
Well, and I think that's usually how it works, because I remember the last inside the park home run the Indians had was that Tyler Naquin inside the parker that was a walk-off in that home game against the Blue Jays back in August of 2016. And I remember the same exact question came up. Melvin Upton was the center fielder for the Blue Jays, and that was the question. Where was Upton backing up on that play? Because he kind of hung out the right fielder to dry a little bit. And I don't know. The only thing I can think of for Trout is the ball went down the left field line and almost was foul. So I think in most cases, the center fielder is just kind of like, well, that's the left fielder's ball right there. And unusual circumstances happened there. And by the time he reacted to a ball, you know, heading over toward the bullpen area, it was too late. But yeah, I mean, you need some things to go right to have an inside-the-park home run if you're the hitter, and that's exactly what happened there.
Again, we're talking Tribe with Jim Rosenhaus. It's brought to you by Erie Burger Company and the Avon Lake Town Center right off of Walker Road. And, you know, Rosie, I think taking a look at tonight's game, the bar has been set pretty high for Josh Tomlin, because the starting rotation, at least the first time around, first four spots have been pretty darn good. Carlos Carrasco got knocked around a little bit, but he did enough to get the win. Corey Kluber, of course, was great after surrendering the two-run homer on the opener. He was lights out after that. Trevor Bauer was very good in his start, and as we mentioned earlier in the interview here, Mike Clevinger was sensational last night. So the bar has certainly been set pretty high for Josh Tomlin this evening. What are some of the things that Tomlin did throughout the course of spring training that has the Indians really excited about what he can provide tonight?
Well, I think as spring training went along, and for him, Yeah, it's about building up arm strength like it is for every pitcher. But for him, it's getting that pinpoint command going. And there were a couple of rough ones in there early in the spring. But his last two, especially his last start, very, very good in terms of command, location, good bite on his cutter and his curveball. So, you know, he left spring training in a really good place. Now, at the back end of the rotation, he has had to do some things to stay sharp because it's a little bit extra rest for him since he's last been on the mound in a game. But he's always been able to handle that pretty well. So I think he'll be just fine. And it was a good spring because it got better as it went. And I think any pitcher would like to have that coming out of spring training.
Yonder Alonso has looked extraordinarily good for the Tribe so far this season. And I know it's early, but it's hard not to get excited about some of the results that he has provided the Tribe with. Of course, he had the big grand slam going back to Saturday. He's gone deep a few times already this season. You know, when you watch him, Rosie, it's hard not to be impressed. You know, a lot of the talk when they signed him in the offseason talked about last year, you know, changing the launch angle, all those sorts of things. People who were very critical of the signing said, well, how do we know last year just wasn't a career year? Boy, early on, he has had a very imposing presence in the middle of this lineup.
He really has, and you always wonder, will a hitter who has a hot spring training carry that through to the regular season? Because it's so different. There's usually no correlation whatsoever. But he's had that same solid contact here the first four games that we saw most of the spring. And my goodness, the home run last night may still be going. He hit that a ton, and just the ability to identify a good pitch to hit has been such a big key for him and an area of improvement. You hear hitters say, well, I got myself out. He's not getting himself out that often here early on, and that's a credit to him just working at trying to get good pitches to hit and then using that good strength. And a lot of it, you know, he said he really worked a lot on bringing his legs into his swing prior to last season. And as much as anything else, that was a big key. And then just getting good pitches to hit. And you hear Francisco Lindor say the same thing. Just getting good pitches to hit, and that's how you can drive the ball and hit home runs. And I think we've seen that early in the season from Alonso. And, and I know there were some concerns when Carlos Santana signed elsewhere, but it may turn out to be a really good trade-off here having Alonso manning first base and occasionally DHing as opposed to Santana. We'll see. Long season, but at least off to a good start.
Yeah, no doubt about that. It is paying some early dividends, no question. Rosie, I want to ask you one last question here, and this isn't necessarily Indians-related, but I just wanted to see if maybe you've heard some things from the Tribe. I don't know if the Tribe players or coaches or maybe management saying something about this. I just found it interesting. Going into a different team in the same division, the Minnesota Twins, boy, their poor social media folks are kind of wearing it right now because of something that Brian Dozier said a couple days ago. And just kind of wanted to see if maybe you've heard some things from the Tribe, and I know they don't want to air anybody else's laundry, but just kind of want to see how this is circulating around Major League Baseball. I'm, of course, referring to the situation a couple days ago when the Twins were up 7-0 against the Orioles. The Orioles catcher, Chance Sisko, laid a bunt down to beat the shift in the ninth inning in a game they were down 7-0. Brian Dozier took exception to that after the game, suggesting he should not have bunted in that situation. And didn't know if the guys had said anything about that in the clubhouse, if that had kind of made the rounds. Again, I know they don't want to air anybody else's laundry, but just kind of wanted to see if that's something that's being discussed right now. Just what many people would describe as a bit of an absurd comment. But I mean, just getting upset at a guy that's bunting to beat the shift to get a base hit in a game where they were down 7-0, it seems odd to me.
Yeah, and no, nobody's really talking about it. You know, I think that's one of those things. It's between the Orioles and the Twins, and I guess in this day and age, when you say something, you know, everyone's going to weigh in with their opinion. But it's not really. The Indians are worried about playing the Angels and taking care of things on their end. I don't think they're really. I just don't think it came up, to be honest with you. I'm sure if you were to ask some players on the team, what do you think? I'm sure they'd offer an opinion. But it probably goes both ways, depending on maybe your perspective on the game, and that's the beauty of the game. Hey, did Brian Dozier go too far? Not in his mind, and maybe some of his teammates' mind. So that's more power to him. And I'm sure the Orioles have some things to say about it as they're trying to get some runs on the board and maybe see if they can pull off some ridiculous comeback. So I guess you can see it from both sides, but nah, man, it's not a topic of conversation here. There's probably no reason for it to be.
Sure. No, I just was just kind of curious. I know how sometimes these things get discussed, and I just found it fascinating. And, boy, I was, again, going back and looking at the Twins Twitter timeline and thought, holy cow. I mean, they're really getting beat up over this. And, you know, part of you feels for the Twins social media team, but you know what? That all comes with the territory. I just thought that was fascinating because that became the story of baseball yesterday prior to a lot of games that were being played, and just thought it was interesting that early on in the year we saw something like that pop up. Rosie, we always appreciate the time. Thank you so much for joining us, and enjoy the game tonight. Enjoy the matinee tomorrow. We look forward to seeing you when you come back to Cleveland on Friday.
You got it, Bull. Thank you.
Thank you. Again, that's Jim Rosenhaus joining us here at Talkin' Tribe, brought to you by Erie Burger Company. You can find Erie Burger Company in the Avon Lake Town Center off Walker Road. Try a burger made with local grass-fed beef. They got all kinds of different sandwiches there. I know because I personally have sampled several. They've got awesome fresh-cut fries, lots for you to choose from. Make sure you visit Erie Burger Company in Avon Lake. All right, time for a break here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Steve Bailey and I will return here in just a few on AM 930 WEOL.